Hi, and welcome to the Provider Podcast from NHS Providers. My name is Adam Brimelow, and in this three-part series, we'll be venturing through what winter has in store for the NHS, alongside our NHS Winter Watch campaign. Over the coming weeks, we'll be sharing our discussions with experts, including our very own NHS Providers Analysis team, about what trusts can expect over the coming winter months and how they're responding in what looks set to be a very challenging period. Our annual Winter Watch campaign follows the statistics launched weekly by NHS England and NHS Improvement to track the pressures on the health service and share good practice from trusts. In this first episode, we speak to Claire Helm, NHS Providers Senior Analysis Manager, and Julian Russell, NHS Providers Senior Research Analyst, on topics such as bed capacity and the impact of COVID-19, the top priorities for trusts, emergency care pathways, and what's coming up in our NHS Winter Watch campaign in the coming months. We hope you find this a useful and interesting discussion. You can join in the conversation by following us on Twitter and LinkedIn at NHS Providers, and keep up to date on future episodes by subscribing to the podcast. Thank you. So, starting off then, what Claire, have trusts done to prepare for the winter seasonal pressures?
Well, as in every year, trusts work really hard to prepare for winter. So they, in the months running up to winter, they're looking at their capacity closely, the number of beds they have, and looking at how they can improve patient flow. This year, obviously, it's been a slightly different context, but trusts have converted capacity where possible. They've looked really closely at the emergency care pathway, and there was some capital funding for some acute trusts to expand their emergency departments with some of the overcrowding that we can see in A&E, because obviously we don't want that this year. And the introduction of NHS 111 meant that trusts and NHS 111 are working together to allow patients to go there to that access point first, meaning it's diverting footfall from emergency departments. And it means patients can speak to a clinician before and find out where the most appropriate setting is for them.
And there are some new and different things that trusts are doing as well, aren't there, Claire?
Yes, so they're working with partners around assisted discharge as well, as kind of an increase on that this year to make sure that patients are being discharged to the right and safe place. Obviously, there's a range of patients that trusts are dealing with at the moment. So that's whether they're COVID positive or whether they're non-COVID. So there's a lot of work going on around the discharge to care homes and working with the CQC to only discharge patients to care homes which have been given the green light by the CQC to be safe to manage COVID patients.
I know there's an issue around the reduction of capacity, isn't there, that trusts have to contend with?
Yes, so I think that's one of the new things this year that's really different from previous years. So obviously with COVID-19 in the mix, trusts are having to separate their capacity differently and stream patients, whether they're COVID positive or if they're queried whether they'll have COVID or whether they don't have COVID. So what this actually means is that the pool of existing capacity that once was available to trusts is now separated into three chunks, which means when you're thinking about moving patients around or staff around, you have more limited capacity. Chuck in social distancing measures, so the fact that beds need to be further apart and other infection prevention control measures means that there's been a reduction of about 10 to 30% in some places.
So we've got the first set of the winter sit-rep figures. Julian, what did they tell us?
Thanks, Adam. Yeah, so as Claire has outlined, we're entering winter with really a sort of a different set of concerns than perhaps we've approached the winter period in years past. We obviously have the knowledge that winter is an extremely busy time for the NHS, but we also have the difficulties of COVID needing to have segregated streams of patients coming through. The first week of the data, comparing it to previous years, we perhaps don't want to highlight too much compared to where we were last year, just because we know that capacity isn't quite the same as what it was. Looking at bed occupancy figures, so we have received that data for the last 4 weeks, and it's been around 87%, fairly steady, but we know that trusts will be feeling that as a much busier and more demand for their services there. Last year, this was up at around 95%, but because of the reduced number of beds that are available for people, we're going to be keeping a close eye on how the bed occupancy tracks over the next couple of weeks. One of the things that we look at in the Winter Watch data is the length of stay, the amount of time that people are spending in hospitals. In the first week of the data, this was actually quite positive. So because there are the efforts to keep people moving and the patient flow has been something that attention has been paid to, this year so far, we are seeing fewer people staying longer than 7, 14 or 21 days compared to last year. We know that demand for accident emergency services isn't as high as it has been in previous years. We do see recovery of the number of patients attending and then being admitted to hospitals. But alongside that, we also see demand for ambulance services slightly lower. So we had around 10% fewer ambulance arrivals in the first week of winter this year than what we did at the same time last year. A particular focus with ambulance services is the amount of time that patients take before they are handed over into the hospital. We saw a reasonably strong performance there this week. A figure of 11% were delayed by 30 minutes or more. That's quite a bit better than where we were at the start of winter last year. And then to close on last week's stats, we actually saw a very small number of beds closed with diarrhea and vomiting and norovirus. In previous winters, this has been something that flares up in different parts of the country and at different times and can close a significant number of beds in hospitals. Last week, there was only an average of 58 beds closed per day. And over the last three winters, this has never been below 350, sometimes up as high as 1,000 beds. So far, so good on DNV and norovirus.
So that's what the figures tell us as we head into the winter. What are the top priorities for Truss as we head through into the winter season?
I think what Julian highlighted there that's really interesting as well is obviously the play of what's happening with the national and local lockdowns, because what we're seeing is obviously that demand for emergency care isn't there, but some of that is going to be because people just aren't out and about and living as normally as we were last year. So I think given that interplay, top priorities going forward for Truss leaders particularly is looking after and supporting their workforce. I think we're all, you know, very aware of the efforts that frontline staff have had to go through since the first wave, you know, from March. They've been working tirelessly to treat COVID patients, but then also to redesign services and make sure that they can deliver COVID and non-COVID services as safely as possible. So after the first wave, staff worked really hard focusing on how they could restore services over the summer. And it was really impressive on how the NHS has actually mobilised to increase that activity. So I think Truss leaders are going to be working really hard to support the staff that have been doing that in this period, because it's a difficult time of year every year for frontline staff. But this year, it's going to be really test people's resilience. So I think Truss will be doing a lot to support their staff and make sure people's well-being is put front and centre of this. So that's one top priority. I think, obviously, the restoring services and keeping non-COVID services going. So we've seen really good efforts to increase the number of diagnostic tests and elective operations over the last few months, nearly, you know, restoring to pre-pandemic levels. In some areas those levels have been hit, in others we're still slightly short of it, but that is still such an achievement when you consider how much of NHS capacity is currently being diverted to treating COVID patients. So I think that continuing to restore services, but also the top priority in lots of people's mind will be how can Truss work together across systems and with the independent sector to bring down the number of long waits on the elective care waiting list. So that's people that have been waiting over 52 weeks. Truss leaders know that the figures are unacceptable and that patients are being put in positions that nobody wants to see them in. So we currently now have over 160,000 patients have been on the waiting list for more than 52 weeks. So that is another kind of parallel to COVID priority. And then the last will be to roll out the vaccination program. Truss have already made a stellar job in getting that underway and kickstarting that, which is really incredible. But I think it will just be to implement the rollout of that over the next few weeks and supporting the primary care rollout as well.
Thanks, Claire. And you mentioned that collaboration with the private sector there. And the reality of this is it's not about Truss working on their own, is it? There's going to be a lot of partnership working. Who are Truss working with to help manage spikes in demand over winter?
So I think it's really important that any conversation that we have about winter isn't just seen through a lens of the emergency care pathway. Unfortunately, that's where a lot of the data is. So it's, you know, if we're being driven by the SITREP data, that's where it takes a lot of the findings. But actually, the emergency care pathway is just kind of the apex of the health and care system where emergency cases present. But what we're seeing, one feature of that demand at the moment, is trust leaders are telling us there's a real demand for mental health services. So lots of people are presenting in A&E with a mental health crisis at the moment. So trust, you know, acute trusts are working with their colleagues in mental health trusts or combined trusts to see where that they can treat those patients, because actually, as we know, emergency departments are not the ideal place to be holding or keeping people whilst we find mental health beds. So trusts are working together, kind of the ambulance sector, acute sector are working closely with community services and mental health services to make sure patients are treated in the most appropriate setting. But then looking outside the provider sector, trusts are working, you know, across their systems and their local footprints to make sure that patients are being discharged as quickly and as efficiently as possible, but also making sure that people have the right wraparound services when they leave hospital or if they're going into care homes. So the trusts are working with the independent sector, but also with social care providers and voluntary groups, actually, to make sure that people have the right support and when they're discharged home.
Great. Well, here at NHS Providers, we're going to be keeping a very close eye on all these developments in this winter's NHS Winter Watch. What else can we look forward to as this series continues in the coming weeks and months?
Yes, certainly, Adam. We are planning to feature a host of contributions from members and other organisations who are part of the wider health and care landscape. As Claire outlines, it's certainly not just the big acute hospitals that are the ones that feel the pressure in the winter period. We will certainly be having member contributions from hospitals from around the country and trusts that are delivering frontline services. But we also have some interesting pieces in line from regulators, from some of our Connect partners who are also doing things to help ease the pressure on those frontline services. We have a mental health angle, as Claire says, the sort of the growing and perhaps hidden demand for mental health services that has been building up over this year. It's not something to ignore. And certainly through the winter period, we're hearing from mental health trusts that pressure is only growing. We will be featuring our analysis blogs on our website each week as the winter SITREPs data is published. When there is the monthly performance and activity figures, that provides some additional really useful context to how the NHS across the board is performing. So that is also something that we look at on the monthly basis that will be part of Winter Watch. And then as mentioned, the member and stakeholder contributions really connect the numbers that we're able to analyse centrally and tell the story, how that feels on the ground. So we'll be having those on our website, pushing those out on social media over the next 3 months, running right through till February and early March into the spring.
Well, it's going to be a really challenging time for trusts and the wider NHS. It's good to know, Claire and Julian, that you're keeping such a close eye on it. And thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks very much.